Welcome to Kidmin Talk, the webcast show brought to you by Kidology.org, where our mission is to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. Whether you're a professional or volunteer leader of a children's ministry or a volunteer teaching in a classroom or a weekday club, Kidology exists as your source of bright ideas for children's ministry. Whenever you see the Kidology light bulb, you know bright ideas won't be far behind. Today's show is sponsored by the Northwest Ministry Conference in Washington State, where I'm honored to be speaking this year, doing both a pre-conference and several workshops. It is one of the largest gatherings of those who are passionate about reaching and teaching children, youth, and even those who now must come to Jesus as a child because, well, they're all grown up. I'll be telling you more about it in just a few moments because it's now time to talk Kidmin. Well, that's right. I am so excited to be going to the Northwest Ministry Conference. This is a conference I have heard nothing but great things about, and it's actually my first time to get to be a part of this conference up in beautiful Seattle, Washington. I'm just going to read you from the cover of this beautiful brochure that I have gotten in the mail. It says it is today's leading ministry experts helping you create tomorrow's successes. It says bring your staff, dream, plan, laugh, be inspired. Over 300 workshops, more than 400 churches, and 3,000 plus attendees. Huge exhibit areas, the world's most affordable conference. And it is a very affordable conference. And you can just go to ministryconference.org to learn all about it. This is not just for children's ministry. There are also workshops on youth ministry and on adult ministry. And yes, those adults are important. That is why at the bottom of all of my children's ministry brochures, I love to put that adult care is provided in the sanctuary, because we do care about those adults here in Kidmin, because, you know, if we missed them as kids, if we missed them as teenagers, you know, we do need to reach them as adults. But Yancey's going to be there. My great friend Greg Baird is going to be there. There's just all kinds of fantastic people are going to be there. And I've got a great lineup. They have just given me many opportunities to speak. I am going to be doing the Kids Church Cooking Show live. They're giving me 2 hours to be able to pour into those of you who do children's church, do creative teaching. So not just the usual 45-minute workshop, but I'm going to be able to actually just pour into you and equip you in helping you be creative and to come up with exciting lessons, especially those of you who don't think you are creative. You're going to want to be a part of this Kids Church Cooking Show Live. This is not me performing. This is me equipping you to cook up creative lessons that kids are going to love. And so, yeah, I'm going to wear the chef hat, and I'm going to bring up some of the kitchen cooking stuff that you've seen on the Kids Church Cooking Show on Kidology, if you've watched those in the online training area. But it's going to be hands-on experience learning for you. And so you're going to want to be a part of that. And that is on Thursday and from 10 o'clock till noon. And then my second pre-con is First Steps for a New Children's Pastor, or in parentheses, or Finally Getting Organized. So maybe you're not new, but you kind of feel like you need a fresh start. You need just to kind of start all over and get organized. And that pre-con is going to be a full 2 hours of kind of re-looking at your children's ministry from the top to the bottom from the top, or starting in the middle and going up and down, and just completely getting organized. And I would encourage you to sign up for that pre-con and be a part of that. And then during the conference on Friday and Saturday, I'm doing 4 workshops. I'm doing one called Endless Ideas for Creative Teaching. How to just come up with tons of ideas to just rack your creativity and just be a never-ending spigot of ideas for just unleashing fun, creative teaching that will create memories for your kids that they will remember for the rest of their lives. And then I'm doing a workshop called 10 Steps for a Ministry Reboot. That's kind of the crash course of what I'm doing in the pre-con. So if you went to the pre-con, you won't have to go to that workshop, or you can go to that as well. And then I'm doing my classic Kidology 101 Effective Relational Ministry for Kids. What does it mean to have a relational ministry, and really practical steps on a ministry that is relationally based? And it is so different. And I've done podcasts on it. If you've read Kidology, you've seen it all over the website. And so that's Kidology 101. And then I'm doing one that I'm very excited about. It's called Mutiny. The Preteens Are Running Children's Church. And you've probably read about this. If you've gotten the cookbook, you've read that section. And this is about how and why my kids' church for 20 years, ever since the beginning of my career, was completely run by kids, run mostly by preteens, fifth and sixth grade, all the way up through junior high, completely ran my children's church. They set it up, they took it down, they did teaching, they ran video cameras, they ran the soundboard. Toy Box Tales was created and run, other than my hands running, it was all done by preteens and kids, creating that technology, actually, to put it on the web. And that guy's now Kidology's IT director. His name is Brandon Stuck. And so, that's what that one's all about. Mutiny, the preteens are taking over and running Children's Church. So I'm doing 4 workshops during the conference, 2 pre-cons, and that's all part of the Northwest Ministry Conference. And I invite you to come and be a part of that. I'm going to have a booth, so I'll be able to hang out there. And Brandon Madux, my young, talented content coordinator for Kidology, I'm flying him in to be there with me so I can hang out with him and he can work the booth. And it's going to be a fantastic time. And so you just need to be a part of that conference. If you can swing it and come up there and just hang out with a ton of people who love God, love kids, love teenagers, and even love those old people who still need Jesus and need to be formed into disciples. So be there or be square. Well, let's move on and let's move to our Kidmin keyword of the day. In fact, I've kind of hinted at it, and you just didn't know that, in a couple of these workshops that we're talking about. I'm disappointed I can't give out a prize today for guessing the letter O, because I didn't get any guesses in the forum and on Twitter or anything. And so I'm going to have to give out a prize for a different reason. So because I'm going to be doing these workshops on the Kids Church Cooking Show and the Kids Church Cookbook, here's what I'm going to do. For the forum this week, if you guess the Kidmin keyword for the letter P, which will be next week, I'm going to send you part one of the Kids Church Cooking Show. There's 7 full parts that come with a PDF book and bonus downloads and bonus videos. I will send you part one, and you'll actually get to name which of the next 6 sections you want. And you can name what you want. And there are actually 6 different sections, all right? Part 2 is setting the mood. It's all about the environment in the room. And it comes with all kind. I think 100 sound effects, zip file that you can get. Developing the recipe is all about lesson planning and finding the meat of the word, and then developing a great lesson. Choosing ingredients is about all the different components you can add to your lesson to spice it up and add flavor and ingredients and the seasonings of your teaching. Getting creative is all for people who don't think they're creative. There's even an invention that I created that will help you, and I'm going to use this in the cooking show at the conference, and people love when I give them all my invention. But it's a tool that you actually assemble and to carry it in your purse, ladies, guys, carry it in your back pocket, and you can whip this out and it will help you actually invent things right there on the spot for your lesson. Stories, games, skits. It's amazing. And that invention comes in part 5 on getting creative. Or the Kitchen Crew. That's the chapter that's all about how kids can run your children's church. That's part 6. And part 7 sounds boring. It's all about scope and sequence and menu planning and advanced planning. But it actually helps you organize and look ahead and plan out the next 3 years of your children's church. So as you write your own curriculum, as you plug in great curriculums from other writers on kidology like River's Edge and High Voltage and Kickriculum and all these other great publishers out there as you plug them all in, but so you're being intentional and covering all the subjects and materials that you want your kids to have so that we leave your children's ministry and you give them to that crazy youth pastor, you know, I have given them this content and these materials and these things that I want them to have before they leave, you know, me, before they leave my children's ministry. I've given them these things and you've planned that all out ahead of time. That's part seven. So if you comment in the forum on this podcast in the show notes, guessing what you think the Kidman keyword for the letter P is going to be, then I'm going to pick one at random. I will give you part one. You've got to say what you want part the second one to be, and I will give you two. That's like a $30 value, and you got to guess what you think it is, or you can just comment on the show today. But the letter O, what's it going to be? What is the Kidman keyword for the letter O? What is that thing that is so important that a children's pastor or a children's director or a volunteer, a leader, someone who's involved with kids has to have or wants to have or is desperate for? And I think I know what it is. At least I'm going to suggest it. No one guessed it, so I get to pick. You don't get a say. You could have had a say. You could have suggested something. It could have been an octopus. It could have been onion rings. It could have been whatever you wanted it to be. But you lost your chance. So I get to say what it is, but I think you're going to like it. And it is getting organized. You know what? We want to get organized. And all of you out there who feel that you're completely organized and your life is in order and everything's in its place, just turn off the podcast right now. And I would turn off the podcast right now and just stop talking if that was me. So you got to know I'm not there yet either. But I've learned some things over the years, and I'm going to share some advice with you to help you and share with you quite honestly and transparently some things I've learned. But the last point is going to prove to you that I'm not a hypocrite because I'm not perfect in this area. But if you want order in your life, I just want to give you five quick tips today to help you. And those come from the word order, because at the core of being organized, what we're really wanting is order in our life. Because in ministry, we find that there's just this chaos. There's just this constant disorder, you know, of things that we got to do and things we're being asked for, and just this never-ending list of to-dos and demands being made on our life. And what we desperately are wanting is some order in our life. And so just using the word order as an acronym, I'm going to give you five suggestions, okay? Now, I love acronyms. I think I've mentioned before, I have an acronym for acronym, okay? It's a crazy riddle of Duggets yielding meaning. Okay, I love acronyms. You know, there's an acronym for Windows. Those of you still on Windows computers, it stands for Will Install Needless Data on Whole System, all right? And just to be fair, I'll pick on the Macintosh. Supposedly stands for Will Install... No, I mean most applications crash, if not the operating system hangs. Okay, just to be fair. And of course, there's lots of acronyms for cars. Fords, found on road dead, fix or repair daily. If you have a Fiat, it's fix it again today. All right, there's a bunch of them, like BMW. You know what that stands for? Break my windows. Anyway, I used to have a Corvair in high school, and I said that stood for completely outrageous racing vehicle after innumerous repairs. But anyway, Here's our acronym for the word order. And the first word starts with the letter O, and it simply is going to be the word order. Now, I know you probably say that's cheating, but if you want to have order in your life, you've got to have order to your things, all right? And this is something that my mother, may she rest in peace, was always saying to me, Carl, you got to have a place for everything, and everything's got to be in its place. And I talk about this in the Leadership Lab number 5, which you can get in the online training section. And every year, about annually, I would literally empty my office. I mean, literally just empty my, get everything off my desk. In fact, I do that about once a month. I would empty my desk drawers. Sometimes about every 2 years, I would literally empty my shelves. And I was blessed in my last ministry to have a conference room next to my office, and it would drive the office staff crazy. But I would completely empty my office into the conference room, and I would put everything back into my office as though I had just started the job. And I'd remove in, and I would decide to put back in my office those things which I needed, put them back in a place where they belonged. And at the end, I would have a bunch of stuff in the conference room that I really didn't need or that didn't have a place, and I would get rid of that stuff. Because removing from my office that which I didn't need did not seem to work. And so I had to remove everything and put back just that which I needed. And sometimes there's a time and a place where you have to get rid of everything. And sometimes you have to just pause and say, I need to take a break. Yes, I'm going to get a little behind by not meeting some deadlines, but I've got to get everything in its place. There's times in my office here, I'm blessed to have a home office now, but I still need to just stop and say, you know what? I know I have deadlines. I know I've got an inbox that's overflowing. I know I've got stuff that I've got to do. I may have to just send out some apology emails saying, you know what, I've got to push back some deadlines, but I've got to get everything in its place because otherwise there's disorder in my life and I've just got to clean. I've just got to straighten everything up. I can't have disorder and chaos in my life. And sometimes that means there's some decluttering that has to take place. You know, I heard recently a guy say that he was going through his home and through his life, and he said if the things that he owned didn't have a use, he wasn't using them, or they were not for beauty, he was going to get rid of them. Now, there's some things you keep, it's a decoration, you know, or it's a hobby, or it's something you collect, and that's okay. So everything he owned either had to be something he was using, or he was keeping it for beauty. But if it didn't fit those two combinations, those two classifications, use or beauty, now guys, you know, may not like the beauty term, right? Cool factor. If it wasn't a cool factor or usefulness, get rid of it. And we do accumulate things that are neither. They're neither useful nor cool or beautiful. You know, those old Palm Pilots, those old adapter cables, you know, there's a lot of technical clutter that gathers around, or books that we no longer read, and going through our bookshelves and saying, you know, do I really need all these books that I have? And we need to get rid of some of that clutter and bring some order to our life that will help us get organized. Okay, moving on. The letter R is the word ready. You know, sometimes we just run from thing to thing to thing to thing. You know, we're like the book of Mark, where it said, and then Jesus went there, and then Jesus went there, and then Jesus went there. You know, when Mark wrote his gospel, you think Jesus never rested. He just ran from one thing to another. And it's kind of the style of the book of Mark. But we know in reality, you know, Jesus rested, he slept, you know, he walked places. And we tend to run from thing to thing to thing. And one of the things I learned from one of my mentors, actually our kidology coach, Barney Kennard, is that, and I love this when he explains this to me, is that anytime he has a meeting, he always pauses before the meeting and actually writes down and prepares ahead of time, you know, a purpose. Why is he having this meeting? What does he hope to accomplish from the meeting? What's an outcome that he would like to have from the meeting? And he prepares for every meeting that he's going to have in that, and he writes it down in a little notebook. So that he goes into the meeting purposefully and intentionally so that he knows that he'll get the outcome he'd like to get from that encounter so that he's ready for that. So if you're going into a staff meeting, you're going into a children's ministry team meeting, if you're going into a sermon, you're preparing your heart for whatever you prepare for things, whether you're preparing for your children's church, preparing to teach, that you're ready for things. If you're not ready, if you're going into a conference call, that 5 minutes before it, you sit down, you make some notes, what do I hope to accomplish, what's the agenda, that you print things out. Because when you're not ready for things, you feel haggard, you feel chaotic, you feel disoriented, and you get caught off guard. And then there's a readiness that comes after things. You know, the first time I went to a children's pastors conference at Walt Disney Resort, I got back and my pastor actually said to me when I mentioned that the conference ended yesterday, he said to me, and you're back? I said, well, yeah, the conference ended yesterday. He said, and what are you doing here? I went, well, because the conference ended yesterday. He said, wasn't it at Walt Disney World? I said, yeah. He said, well, if I was you, I'd still be there. I was shocked that he said that. What a supportive pastor. And he was kind of hinting to me that if the conference ended yesterday and it was at a really relaxing, wonderful resort, that I probably should have added on a day to enjoy the resort and to rest and to reflect. You know, and ever since then, every time I'm at a conference that where I'm just taking in information like from a fire hose, I add on a day. So that after everyone else leaves and gets on the plane and leaves and hurries home, I stay an extra day. So I can read through my workshop notes, so I can pray and I can reflect and I can think about, well, how am I going to apply this to my ministry, and how am I going to present different things to my ministry team, and I want to process so that by the time I'm coming back to my church situation, I've had time to actually digest, you know, what happened at that conference, instead of, you know, finishing the closing session and rushing to the airport and flying home and getting bombarded by everything. There's a readiness to even re-engage in the ministry. And so I took my pastor's advice, and after that I always said the conference was 3 days, it's a 4-day conference, because a conference is not just the sessions and the workshops. The conference is the experience of going to be equipped and encouraged and to benefit from that conference. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting be dishonest to your pastor, but what I'm suggesting is to have a full experience of going away to be encouraged and equipped. So you need to think about, how can you bring more order to your life? How can you be more ready for the things that you have to do, both before and after them? And the D is to delegate, all right? And man, we all know this, but doing it's a totally different story. And we all know the story of Moses and how he had to learn to delegate. And where it got hard for me to delegate was that I don't like giving people the things that I don't like to do. Because I have a hard time believing that people actually like to do the things that I don't like to do. I actually feel mean giving people things that I don't like to do. I have a wonderful bookkeeper, and she actually enjoys doing things with numbers and data entry and things with QuickBooks and stuff. I hate that stuff. I clam up, my brain starts freezing, and I will procrastinate anything with budgets and numbers and stuff. And I actually hate to ask her to do those things, because since I hate it, I feel mean to give that to her. And she'll actually say to me, just give me that stuff. Just give it to me. Don't delay. Just call me and ask me to do it, and I will do it for you. And she will do it with joy, with eagerness. And it takes me time. I have to remind myself, I just need to give this to Patty, because she will do this for me, and she will love to do this for me. She'll fill out check reimbursement stuff. I can just scribble on it something and just give it to her, and she'll fill it out for me, because she loves to do that stuff. And in ministry, there are things that you hate to do that other people love to do. And you have to believe that God has gifted all of us with spiritual gifts. And the stuff that you hate doing, it's because he didn't gift you to do it. And there's other people who hate doing what you love doing. And that's because he spread out our gifts equally. All of us are gifted equally. We're just gifted in different ways. And we have to be willing to spread the load. So you should only do what only you can do. Let me say that again. You should only do what only you can do. There are things that only you can do. You rock at them. You're awesome at them. And it is not pride for you to understand and appreciate and identify what you rock at. You know, there can be pride if you get arrogant about it, but it isn't pride to just know what you are really good at and what only you can do. Now, there may be others who can do that also. And so you team up with them and you share with them and you let them do it when you go on a vacation and things. But there are some things that only you can do. And that's where the focus of your time should be. And your time should also be focused on the things God called you to do. For me, it's teaching and it's shepherding and it's training and it's discipling. And there's other things that God didn't call me to do, and I need to let other people do those things. And when I do other things, it's pulling me away from what God's called me to do. And so we need to delegate those things. We need to give those things to others. And then there's other things we just need to be willing to let not be done. We just need to be willing to fail. We need to be willing to let things just fall. and accept the fact that we can be a failure at some things in life because we're never going to get it all done. So choose what to be a failure at. And that's just a principle that's important to grasp. So look for order, be more prepared and ready, and delegate. And the E is energy, focused energy on the things that are most important. We need to give up the multitasking myth. All right. We try to multitask by trying to get a whole bunch of things done at once. And it's really a myth that we can multitask. Study after study has shown that when you multitask, you're dividing your energy and you're getting less done well. So you need to turn off email, turn off your cell phone, pick one thing and just work on that one thing. If you've got some things you need to get done, write them down on an index card at the beginning of the day. These are three things I've got to get done, and do those first. And focus your energy on those things and do just those things and get them done first. And that's part of getting organized, is figuring out what those big rocks are. I think everybody's heard that story about the professor that came out and said, you know, I've got this big box and I'm going to fill it with these big rocks, you know. Then he poured in the smaller rocks, and then he poured in the gravel, and then he poured in the sand, and then he poured in the water. And he said, what's the lesson here? And one kid raised his hand and he said, there's always room in your life for more. And the illustration was no. The illustration is, if I hadn't put the big rocks in first, there never would have been room for the sand. And what we do is we tend to fill our life with the gravel and the sand and the water, and then we want to stick the rocks in. So every day, you've got to focus on those rocks first. You've got to put the big rocks in first and write down what those big rocks are and schedule them in. You know, if your tooth breaks, you suddenly have time for going to the dentist because it's an emergency and you go. I mean, I had a staff meeting every week, Tuesday, 2 o'clock. I had to be in my pastor's office. Didn't matter what was going on in my life, didn't matter how crazy it was, unless it was VBS week, I was in my pastor's office at 2 o'clock. I mean, I'd be speeding down the road, you know, driving like a maniac to get there at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays to be in my pastor's office. So apply the same discipline to your kids' church lessons. Set a time that you just have to be there. And I couldn't be doing email during that. I couldn't be answering my phone. I couldn't be working on my kids' church lesson. I had to be focused from 2 to 4 on Tuesday afternoons on my pastor, even if I didn't like his agenda, even if I thought it was a waste of my time because they were doing worship song selection for the adult service. It didn't matter. I was in his office from 2 to 4 on Tuesday afternoons, and I had to be engaged, and I had to participate, and I had to you know, share my ideas and whatever wisdom insight I had on whatever the topic was, whether I really cared or not. I had to care. And you can apply the same focused energy you can choose to on other things. And you can say, Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, this is what I'm going to focus on. Monday morning at 10 p.m., this is what I'm going to focus on. Create your own senior pastor staff meeting, you know, priority on something that's internal that you focus on. Create your own broken tooth emergency, but it's a lot less painful. And you need that focusing. The last one is R, and it's another R, but this one is relax. All right, chill out a little bit. We get all worked up at organization, and we have this vision of just this Jedi, super organized person with the clean office and the organized calendar and the iPhone or the iPad or whatever tool you use completely filled out. And you know what? You got to relax, and you got to accept the fact that that'll never be you. Okay? You are you, and the level of organization that is the average you, that's probably going to be the average you for the rest of your life. Now, there's going to be periods of improvement, and then you're going to fall back to the average you. And I just want you to know that average you's okay. You get things done, the ministry gets done, and people love you, and it's okay. So strive to improve. Don't give up. Download that Leadership Lab number 5 and go through that process of organizing and prioritizing and getting rid of stuff and get rid of the clutter and seek for order and try to be more ready. Definitely delegate some stuff. Try some exercises to focus your energy and stop multitasking. But at the end of the day, just relax. Accept the way God made you. That super organized person that you're envious of, you'll never be them. because God's wired us all differently. There's a certain level of chaos in children's ministry that we have to accept. I try to tell young veteran children's pastors to conjure up an image of a construction site. And I say, that's children's ministry. And in children's ministry, we sometimes think we're building this incredible building. And the day is going to come when we're going to put a big red ribbon on the front. We're going to cut it with a pair of scissors. And the crowd's going to be there, and they're all going to cheer and say, look at this awesome children's ministry that you built. And the mayor's going to come, and he's going to hand you a key, or the senior pastor, and he's going to hand it to you, and you're going to get a big bonus check, and then your work's going to be done, and so then you'll move on to a new church, and you'll start a whole new children's ministry. But that's a false image. That's a myth. That's a dream. The reality of children's ministry is it is a construction site, and it will always be a construction site. And here's why. Because the plans are always changing. All right, senior pastor is going to add Saturday night. All right, they're going to constantly be shifting the plans. They're going to tell you at the last minute. All right, the staff are constantly changing. They're constantly quitting. People are constantly moving away, and new people are constantly coming. There's new kids constantly coming. You have kids that are going to come with different handicaps and different special needs. You're going to have different behavioral issues. Curriculums are going to change. Trends are going to change. So this construction site is constantly in flux. And there's going to be conflicts and personality conflicts, staff changes, plan changes. Things are going to break. There's going to be crashing noises of things falling and breaking. Alarms are going to go off. Sometimes they're real alarms and you got to hurry and run and fix it. Other times it's a false alarm because somebody just pulled it and you ran over there and it was nothing. You've got to picture yourself as a foreman at a construction site. You're wearing a hard hat. Things are falling. Some days they're going to hit you. Sometimes they're going to miss you. Some days they're going to hit somebody else. And you've got to be calm. You've got to be actually comfortable in that setting. If you can't embrace that environment, if you can't actually love that environment, you're actually in the wrong business. You probably should actually quit, because that's children's ministry. It's a construction site of chaos and constant change, and you can't organize a construction site, okay? So there will never be order. You get what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm actually trying to encourage you to accept and embrace order in the midst of chaos. And if you can love that, if you can embrace that, and that's why Scripture says that He will give you a peace that passes understanding. Because remember, biblical peace is not the absence of conflict. Biblical peace is peace in the midst of conflict. See, the peace that God gives is being totally cool when there's nothing cool around you, okay? You know, that's why James says, count it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. See, he didn't say, feel it pure joy. He said, count it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. All right, see, that's what we need. Is we need perseverance. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work, that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, that's what God's really about. He's not about building your ministry. He's about building you. Don't forget that. And you are also a construction site. Remember that old bumper sticker, please be patient, God isn't finished with me yet? God's not finished with you. And the good news is, James goes on to say, and if any of you lacks wisdom, which we all do, he should ask God. And God gives generously to all without finding fault. God doesn't find fault with you. You find fault with yourself. You think, I'm this totally disorganized person. That's how I feel. But God doesn't find that fault. He just sees a disciple in process, and guess what it says? It will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So don't be like that. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. He said that person is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does, all right? He wants you just to ask, believing, all right? And he'll give you that wisdom. He'll give you that wisdom for ministry in the midst of the chaos. That order that you seek is an internal order, all right? So that's what I want you to do. You want to be more organized? Great. Download the apps that'll help. You know, buy the big, thick three-ring binder notebooks. Use iCalendar and share your calendar. Do all those things, because you should, all right? Seek more order. Get rid of the clutter. Be more ready for things. That'll help you have a sense of order. Please delegate. Get rid of half of what you're doing, or just stop doing so much. Be more focused. Focused energy on those things that only you can do. But then just relax. Accept a certain level of chaos, and you will feel a whole lot better about so many things, especially as you realize that every Sunday is a manic Sunday. Maybe you've had a Sunday like this.
9 o'clock already and I just can't get the kids out the door. My daughter's shoes are missing like they've been 1,000 times before. Once again I'm late, when I get to church my nerves are afraid. These are the days.
This might encourage you.
As tiring as a Monday, and always on the run day. Should be worshiping the Sunday. It's just another manic Sunday. Drop the kids at Sunday school, and I should be showing up for a choir. First I'll buy a double latte, cause I worship better when I'm wired.
Sound familiar?
Now it takes me so long just to figure out what I'm gonna wear. Hope I didn't put on the same outfit as somebody there. It's just another manic Sunday. As tiring as a Monday. And always on the run day. Is a choice.
It is a choice.
Don't want another manic Sunday. As tiring as a Monday. And always on the run day. So worshiping the Sunday. Not just another manic Sunday. As tiring as a Monday.
Well, Sundays definitely can feel more like a run day if we haven't brought order to our Sundays, if we truly are ready, if we haven't delegated those things that we really shouldn't be doing, and if we haven't focused our energy on the right things, and if we're not relaxed and accepting a certain level of chaos. Well, I hope that you will work on being more organized, and at the same time, we'll work on experiencing God's peace in the midst of the disorganization that just comes with children's ministry. Well, thanks for listening to Kidmin Talk. I hope you found it both equipping and encouraging. Don't forget, kidology.org/loves you. We are running some special deals this month just for our premium members to thank you for your support. And don't forget to post in the show notes what you think the Kidman keyword will be or should be for the letter P, and to post which Kids Church cookbook section you would like free in addition to part one, and I will pick one at random and send it to you. Give me your feedback, tweet at Kidman Talk, and post in the forum, or carl@kidmantalk.com with your email, and you can shape the show. Until next time, this is Carl the Kidologist, talking Kidman with you.